All right, well, let's take our Bibles this evening, and we'll get to the book of James, actually. Book of James, another one another tonight. And we're actually, as we come through the New Testament, there are a number of one another's that are just talking about maybe a group of people that don't have instructions directly with them. So we are coming near the end of some one another passages, and so we may be wrapping this up. And maybe the Lord's timing is just right. If we can start getting back to services, this may work out really well. Again, let's continue to be praying that we might soon be back together. In my best evaluation right now, I'm very hopeful for maybe a first service back together at the beginning of June. We'll wait till next week and all those instructions or whatever come out from the Winnebago County and see what's going on there. We have considered some other alternatives to allowing us to gather together. So pray for wisdom and opportunity for that. Again, in my best guesstimates for the church family, it looks like we will probably delay our vacation Bible school into July. That presents some good challenges because we've already got a couple of camp weeks going on there. Though we know that those are a go. So we'll be praying about that as well. We may actually have just an abbreviated VBS 3-day instead of 4. We're talking about some of those possibilities. Just be praying. Excuse me. Once we get some clear directions about what we can do for opening up, that'll help us then be able to continue to schedule. I've had the blessing of talking with the pastor who, texting. Let me make it clear. Texting with the pastor who is the pastor of the church that we would be ministering to on the mission trip with the teenagers this summer, and looking for rescheduling there later into the summer, potentially into August. So we'll be praying about that as well, that the Lord might open up those opportunities for our young people to serve the Lord in that way. Well, as we come to the book of James, we're in James chapter 5, if you see it on the notes there. Remember a couple things about James, and I've mentioned on your notes, but remember the theme of James is living faith produces faithful living. Obviously, it's almost, what would you call it, where you have a descriptive term, it's like saying it twice, living faith. Faith is alive. Spiritually speaking, we are alive in faith. But what I was trying to tell you there is James refers to faith and works, and the idea that I will demonstrate my faith through my works. You say I have faith, but it doesn't affect your life through what you do. It's not real faith, and that's why we use the term living faith. And then living faith produces faithful living. Remember, the book of James is really the New Testament book of Proverbs. And the reason I tell you that, though there is clearly, especially in the beginning part, there's clearly sections of continuity, there are also just a lot of just strong, powerful, throughout, what we might call pithy sayings that almost don't seem to have context. They just seem, here it is, live it out. A lot like the book of Proverbs. And so when we come even here to the end of the book and come to this one other passage, we have several really fast-paced proverbs, but they are connected to a theme. The theme is really mentioned in verse number 16. Let's look at that verse first, and then we'll expand the text from there. Verse 16, confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So, our theme, obviously, for tonight, pray for one another. And as it's commanded here, now notice we have really two one another's in this verse. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. And it's very interesting in the original language, really it's just confess one another, pray one another. It's kind of the idea there's not, those prepositions aren't necessarily there, although I think one of them actually is. So there's a lot of connection in the language here. And I'm going to kind of help you see that connection when we walk back through the context. So we are called to be praying for one another, and there's numerous ways that we should. This is very fitting for our Bible study, but it's also very fitting for a Bible study on prayer night. Let me finish my thought. I'm running ahead of myself. Here we go. Very fitting to talk about praying for one another on prayer night. But it is also very fitting as an extension of what we've been seeing in the one another passages, to love one another, to be like-minded to one another. This is a clear way, and this is when I talk about, and when I mentioned to our church family, the ministry of prayer is critical. It is not something that is secondary. It's not something that's kind of wasted. It's not something that just makes us feel good. No, no, this is a real ministry. And James makes it abundantly clear that we are to be praying for one another. That is a ministry that I have to you and you have to me. And that God hears and answers prayer. And that we'll see all that in these quick little verses. So now let's go back and let's read the whole passage. We'll start in verse number 13 and walk all the way down through verse 20. So as I'm reading these verses, don't forget that he's talking about praying for one another. Verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elijah, was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. So I'm going to restrain myself tonight, not only because I don't want to take the time. I want you to be able to spend some time in prayer at home to really walk through and expand this whole passage. So I'm going to try to restrain myself and stick really closely to the notes, making explanation as we go. But you can see in this passage that our relationships to one another, we should be praying for one another. So what in my relationship for you, to you, and your relationship to me, what should we be praying for one another? Well, there's several things. And we'll have a little bit of fun tonight. Now, these all start with the letter S, all right? These all start with the letter S. So number one, I should pray for, verse 13, what I call the sad. The sad. The word afflicted there is the word speaking of any type of suffering during difficult circumstances. So someone is afflicted, well, let him pray. If he's merry, well, let him sing psalms. By the way, a psalm is a song, often a prayer of rejoicing to your great God. And these are put together much like a proverb. You see, in a sense, two sides of the same coin. Really, in many ways, we could put it this way. We need to pray for the afflicted, that they will come to a day where their heart will be merry so that they can pray in psalms to the Lord. Thank the Lord. So we pray for a song in their heart, even sometimes during the midst of their affliction. Believer, have you ever experienced that? In the time of deep challenge, trial, affliction of any sort, and where do you find your joy? It's in the Lord. And how is that often expressed? In song. And so let us pray for the sad that the Lord would raise them up and give them a song in their heart. Number two, let's pray for, verses 14 and 15, the sick. The sick. Is any sick among you? Are you feeble or weak or sick? Well, let him call for the elders, the pastors of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. So, very interesting passage, and again, I would take some time to dissect it even further, but let me just make the simple explanation here. So, you're sick, you do the right thing by asking pastor to pray for you. That's biblical. Don't be ashamed to say, pastor, would you pray about such and such? It is a part of my biblical duty to you as a church family to pray for you. Remember what the apostle said in Acts chapter 6? We cannot leave the word of God and prayer to serve tables. So they had deacons come along to do some of that work. I am so grateful. In fact, I've had several of you men at times say, pastor, no, we will do that because you need to keep at your work. I like that. I like that encouragement. Anyways, here the you're sick, well, let the pastor know, and obviously he passes it on. And they will come at times and pray often. Some of the most precious times of fellowship I have is with folks that are in the hospital. We pray together before surgery, pray together sometimes over the phone, follow up. All those things are a real blessing. The word anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, I realize that there's several options or opinions about this. I think there's pretty strong language evidence that this is speaking of medicine, actually, not necessarily some kind of special anointing. There was another Greek word that was used for that, and that's not the Greek word used here. This is just to put on, all right? And we know really clearly in the New Testament times that oil was often used in medicinal purposes. It's from before this was written, years before, all the way past this, and so forth. So he's talking about the pastors helping to pray. Yes, let's minister the medicine, and obviously we have the joy in our modern day to have so much medicine available to us. And God, in this verse, gives us somewhat of a stamp of approval for that. Follow wise medicine. But notice, what is it that heals the sick? Verse 15. The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. Now, notice at the end of verse 15, if he committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Notice that simple yet really important word here, if. You see, God in this passage makes it abundantly clear, and we'll see it a little later on in just a moment, that at times people are sick because they've been sinning. God uses physical ailments to get the attention of his children so that they will come back to him. It's very appropriate, child of God, if you become sick, to say, Lord, is there something you're trying to get my attention about? Now, it's the word if, though. God makes it clear that not every sickness is because you've sinned. So it's an appropriate time to ask the question. And he says, as you come to the Lord, and there's a prayer of faith that, in a sense, the prayer of the people of God, they're trusting the Lord to raise you up, and God raised you up, he's also willing to forgive your sin. Get that confessed and take care of it. Again, a very quick or powerful proverb, wrapping it down in just a few succinct words. So there's an understanding here that there's a confession of sin. And there's then a clear allusion to it later on in the passage. So the prayer of faith saves the sick. Now let me make a strong statement at this point. Have I been using that word too much tonight with proverbs, all right? Strong statements. Concerning our present condition. Here we are in a world that's facing COVID-19. Who is it that holds our life in his hands? Who is it that can bring healing if someone is sick? Oh, yes, God says amen to using medicine. But does the medicine heal or does God heal? Now, that you say, well, whoa, 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 are you kind of, you know, doesn't the medicine make him better? Well, we could on a very human plane absolutely say yes. You see, medicine used wisely and well, following the rules of this wonderful created order that God has made, is a tool in God's hand to bring healing. Aren't you glad? I am standing here today because God used modern medicine in my life to bring healing. There's no doubt in my mind that that was the tool God used. But I will also vigorously, because God's word says so, tell you that it was God that healed me. Not the medicine. God used the medicine, but God was the healer of my life physically. Now, when it comes to COVID-19, this is where my faith needs to be strong. God is watching over my life. He will not allow anything into my life that he cannot take care of. Now, does it mean I'd be foolish? No. So we understand how today, unlike 100, 200 years ago, we understand how these bugs work now, how they're passed. So we take wise precautions. And yet, we also understand that God has so made our bodies that it has a system that gobbles up the bad things, right? And heals us. Who is it that takes care of us ultimately? It's God. And so we will one day, when we open the doors of the church again to all of us gathering back together again, who are we going to trust to keep us healthy? Who are we going to spend time praying to keep us healthy? It's the Lord. Believe me, I've already prayed and will continue to pray, Lord, for the sake of your name, it's so easy for our hearts to be selfish in this. Lord, I just don't want to get sick. But rather, Lord, for the sake of your name, would you so allow that in our church family and many, many, many church families that love you, that are obeying you, that are righteous, would you keep them in good health so that the world could see that God is a great God? So we gather back together again, being careful and wise in how we do it, but knowing that we're to obey the command of the Lord to assemble together, knowing that this is so funny because we've studied it on these one another passages. We're supposed to give each other a holy kiss. Now, thankfully, that doesn't mean I have to, but I'm supposed to greet you, all right? And that's a part of our fellowship. Now, we'll be careful and wise. Knowing that's a command of the Lord to greet one another, to let others know I love you, to spend moments fairly close to one another so we can share each other's burdens. What do? We pray, Lord, keep us healthy. May we be careful not to transmit the virus. Aren't you glad we have yet not a single person in our church family that has caught the virus? Not one. Or, as many of us surmised, we caught it all about January, February, and it's all passed through us already. All right. And that could be the truth, too. Medical people confirming that, saying, that's a real possibility. But God is caring for us. Isn't that a blessing? So the prayer of faith heals the sick, and the Lord heals the sick. So let's pray for the sick. All right, now, fasten on your seatbelt. That was an important part I needed to share tonight. But number three, let's keep on going. What else am I to pray for? Who else am I to pray for? Pray for, verse 16, the saints. So the sad, the sick, pray for the saints. Confess your faults one another and pray for one another. Now, notice what happens. As we concern each other about our physical needs, what should it do? It should draw us into an intimate relationship with one another so that we are honest and open to make sure that our relationships are right with each other. Here again, James being very precise with his language. Confess your faults one another. If you have aught against your brother hath aught against you, they've sinned against you. And the word fault here, by the way, very important. It's not talking about, oh, I just don't like what he does. It's not, oh man, he's not nice. No, it's being sinned against. It's the word fault is talking about being sinned against. When someone has actually lied about you, spoken evil of you, stolen from you, whatever this, all right, you understand that, all right, we're as brothers and sisters in Christ, as we've prayed for one another and sick, and we draw together in our relationship with one another, it draws our hearts to love each other, and then we're quick to get things right so that our relationship is utterly, not just on the surface, not just when we're sick, but in our heart and our spirit, we're right with one another. So therefore, you confess your fault one another, and that's why you pray for one another. Challenge for you. Do you have a struggle with a brother in Christ? When was the last time you prayed for that brother or sister? You see, it goes right hand in hand together in this verse. I have a problem with my brother. Well, I need to confess it. We need to get it taken care of. I need to go to him, ask him to come to me. Let's try to get this settled. But even if there's not a good response initially, what am I supposed to do? Pray. Pray for him. That ye may be healed. And now James is having what I believe is some amazing fun here with the language a little bit in his description. We think of the word healed as physically being healed, right? And that is a part of that understanding of the word healed. But this term is often used talking about making right our heart, our spirit being made right with the Lord or with one another. That healing. God wants us to have a healed heart, that it's totally free from error and sin. Everything is made whole in our relationships with one another and with the Lord. Oh, wow. This is a powerful ministry to one another. Now, let me encourage you. I sense that this goes on in our church family because of the sweet unity that we experience here. That doesn't happen happenstance, folks. But as you pray for one another, pray specifically for the spiritual needs, maybe you're aware of a brother that has a problem or a sister that's struggling in an area. Well, pray for that one. Help them grow in the Lord and strengthen them so that they will be whole, that they will be healed. And so no wonder James, with great exultation, says at the end of verse 16, the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man avails much. Now, I'm not going to say all that to be said yet. We'll come back to that. So let's keep on going. So we pray for the sad, the sick, the saints, and now let's pray for number four, what we call the strays. The strays. Having been an animal person from a very, very, very early age, the first dog that we had, I remember my father as a little boy, probably kindergarten-ish, putting in my lap Pepper. Our little Pepper has half beagle and then half peek-a-poo, which is Pekingese and poodle. All right. So what he was a long-haired beagle. But that nose of his worked like nobody's business. And he had that hunting instinct. And he didn't have the bark of a beagle. But he, any chance he had, if he could bust out of the fence, he would. He was a stray, all right? And he'd go, oh, Pepper, where are you at, Pepper? All right. We lived on a farm for a while. Oh, he just absolutely loved running through the corn, running away. And of course, then as I grew older, it became my job to get all the burrs out of his hair, long hair. I learned later, you know, Dad wouldn't let me clip him off. I had to take the comb and gently take it. But later on when I think, I don't remember, I was in high school, I was really, my life was full. And I discovered Dad one day taking care of Pepper, and he was cutting the hair off. Oh, man, that was like, Dad. Anyways, we are to pray for the strays. Look at verse 19. Brethren, if any of you do err, someone that strays away from the truth, if any of you do err, what should we do? And one convert him. Now, this word convert is not talking about the conversion and salvation from a sinner becoming a saint. No, this is talking about a brother in Christ. Brethren, verse 19. All right? And you direct him back to the truth. You save him, if I can put it that way. You help his focus come back to the Lord, and you love him. It means to turn about. The word convert means to turn about, to cause to return, all right? So, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, all right? From the destruction that comes from sin. The wages of sin, remember, is, yes, you got it, death. And shall hide a multitude of sins. So, as we pray for and then in answer to our prayer, in doing the command of the Lord to draw the stray back to the Lord, and we turn him about, turn him away from his sin, and turn him back to the path of the Lord, what happens? We stop the destruction that leads to death of sin in his life. And we stop the development or the multiplying of sin in his life. Has that ever happened to you where God used someone else to arrest you in your path of sin and then turn you around and you look back and say, what I was saved from, I now I see where I was heading, and I was heading for destruction. Now, believer, let us be about praying for those who stray from us. Not from us because we love them, most importantly because they stray from the truth. You know a brother or sister that maybe is not faithful. It could be that they need a lot of prayer. The Lord would draw them back. Maybe God would use you to help them. Give them truth. Love them back to the Lord. Help them to see God's word clearly. Know, as he says here. If you convert the sinner from the error of his way, you've saved him from a multitude of sins. You've saved him from the path that leads to death. There have been folks in my ministry over the years where I've prayed for, helped try to arrest them, and yet they're in heaven today. their sin brought destruction to their life. Oh, I'm certain they were saved. Their testimony was clear and their desire to do right at times was clear. It was sweet, but sin was destructive in their life. They weren't converted. Oh, may we be about praying for the strays, to draw them back to the Lord. It's not just to have a friend again. It's to have a brother in Christ again. And that's really important. Now, notice these couple of things, and we'll be done. First of all, it's souls, not stuff, that we should be, that should be the focus of our prayers, that we should be praying for. It's souls, not stuff. Too often we pray about a multitude of things that are not necessarily bad, but they're not the most important thing. You have, I think, done well, and as I've tried to encourage you, our prayer list, numerous names, many, many under the health needs. Don't just pray for that health need. Yes, we're to pray for the sick, but we're also to pray for the saints, that the Lord would make them whole in every way. We're to pray for the sad, that the Lord would lift them up and bring joy back to the heart. We're to pray for the strays, that they would be converted and come back to the Lord. You see, as we pray for those people on our prayer list, pray for them spiritually. That is important. We need them to be with the Lord. They need to be with the Lord. So pray for souls, not just stuff. And then secondly, the prayer warrior that is heard is a saint. Now let's go back to verse 16 to 18 to finish tonight. I skipped over verse 17 in our explanation. Notice, end of 16, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The righteous prayers are effective. That's the word effectual there. They are the ones that are answered. And they are the ones that often come from a heart of struggle, in the sense of the warrior is praying earnestly. That's why I use the word prayer warrior here in our notes. So the righteous prayers are effective because, number one, they are in a right relationship with God. This is something you can add to your notes. God hears the righteous prayer. Though God can choose to answer anybody's prayer, there is a strong and direct connection to hearing the prayer of the righteous, because they're in a right relationship with Him. I delight to give my obedient children many gifts. That's just the heart of a father. And that's the way God is to an eternal extent. Not frivolous gifts, but righteous gifts. And so the prayer of the righteous avails much. Elijah's the great example. He prayed in God's will for judgment to come because of the sin of the nation. And then he also prayed for God to withhold that judgment, to stop the judgment. Many people came to the Lord. An amazing testimony of the greatness of our God. Don't forget Mount Carmel, all right? The water being burned up by God. Amazing. And then the deluge of rain that God sent. God is a great God. And the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. But not only are the prayers are effective because they are right with God, but also it is the soul and heart of the righteous one that knows God's mind the best. You see, the righteous is one who has so permeated his life with the Word of God, he pretty well knows what God's thinking about the matter. That's not presumptuous. That's a sweet relationship. Lord, just for a fun example, all right, Lord, this finger got in the way today. Should I cut it off? Well, that's a crazy prayer. Why? Because we know that this is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which lives, which we have of God, and we are not our own. This body is His. No, I wouldn't damage it or ruin it. Of course not. Lord, I don't feel like telling anybody about you today. Would you please keep all the sinners away from me? No, that's not a prayer according to God's will. You know the heartbeat of God. The heartbeat of God is He's not willing that any should perish. So you pray, Lord, give me the courage and strength. Help me to overcome my flesh. May I look for and find the opportunities to reach a soul for Christ. You see, The effectual, fervent prayers of a righteous man avail much because he knows the mind of God often. And then he's humble enough to confess, Lord, I don't know the answers, and I will trust you for them. That's a righteous man. He's not trying to tell God what to do. He's wanting God to get his will accomplished. So let us pray for one another. I trust that your heart's encouraged from this tonight. A powerful passage, a challenging passage to my own heart. So let's pray for the sad, the sick, the saints, the strays. All right, never forget we should be praying about souls most importantly, not just stuff. And it's the prayer warrior that is heard is the saint is heard. So be faithful to the Lord so your prayers can be answered. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for this time together. Lord, thank you for your word and its power. I pray that you would help us to be faithful the rest of this week and make it a habit of our life to be praying for one another. Lord, I thank you for this church family that regularly and faithfully does that. Keep them growing in their ministry of faith. Lord, keep our hearts right with you so that our prayers are heard, so that they're effectual. Thank you for your goodness to us. In your name we pray. Amen.